We're in for a real treat tonight. Later on, we'll be hearing a kind of a, it's going to be the ancient story of Abraham and Isaac that we studied this morning, but with a little bit of interpretation in there and modern dress and all that. But I think it'll stir us, and we need to just be praying that God will use that to open our eyes, and then I'll kind of summarize that at the end.
My name is Joanna, and this is Frida. We'd like to welcome you to this performance of Mountaintop.
With a title like that, you shouldn't have any trouble in guessing what this stage is set to represent. It's the top of a mountain named Moriah. That means what Jehovah has made one see.
Perhaps Jehovah has a vision in store for you tonight, for the story we want to tell you is timeless. It involves a father.
Come along, son. Hurry up.
And a son.
Well, wait up a little, Dad. You aren't carrying anything.
And you. You are the rocks and trees, the mountains surrounding, who watch in silence as this story unfolds.
As for us, consider us actors or angels or whatever you want. We're only here to tell the story.
Isaac. I'm sorry, son. You're fine, son. Fine.
Is something bothering you?
What do you mean by that?
You just haven't been yourself these days. You've been acting strange lately.
Strange? Isn't a father entitled to some strangeness every now and then without his son badgering him for a reason, huh?
Sorry, Dad.
Strange, huh?
Strange.
Yes, well, I guess I have been. Many things on my mind, son. Many things. I forget myself sometimes.
That's not all you forgot.
What? Speak up, son. Don't mumble at your father that way. What did you say?
I said that's not all you forgot.
What else did I forget?
The sacrifice. I mean, we've come 3 days from home, and we've got flint and the knife, provisions for a week, and no sacrifice.
You see that rock down there? Go fetch it for me. We need to get an altar built.
And every time I bring it up, you change the subject.
Go fetch it for me, son.
You cannot feel me, but I am near. You cannot see me, but I am with you. Speak, Abraham, and I will speak with you.
Jehovah. Been asking myself for 3 days if I really heard you, if you really spoke to me. Are you there?
I am near you, Abraham.
Then tell me again, what is it you want of me? Tell me again what it is you want me to do.
Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love.
Yes, I love him, Lord.
Go into the land of Moriah. And offer him there as a sacrifice on one of the mountains which I shall show you.
No. God, tell me you don't mean it. Tell me it isn't true. God. God.
Here's your rock, Dad. Dad, did I hear you yelling a minute ago?
Yelling.
Yeah, you know.
Ah!
Yelling. Like that.
Sons. One would think God would give them a little more respect for their parents. One would think God...
What's going on, Dad?
Scaring some birds off. They were after your lunch.
Oh, thanks. Are you hungry?
No. It's beautiful up here. Forget what it's like to feel the wind on your face.
Well, if it's all the same to you, I prefer the valley. It's easier to breathe down there, and funny little men with long beards don't keep sending you after 30-pound rocks so they can talk to the ground.
Enough, Isaac. Eat your lunch. I've had enough of this wit of yours for one day.
Besides, I had to leave my goats, and several of the herd are about to bear kids, and I'm afraid they'll give birth before I get home. When are we going home anyways?
When And when we've offered sacrifice.
When will that be?
When we get an altar built. So put down your lunch and run and fetch that rock right down there. See it?
But it's 100 feet down there.
Right down there, son. Quickly. Jehovah. Is it because I called Sarah, my sister, that time? Is that why this punishment?
Oh, great. Wonderful. You've really gotten us into trouble this time.
You're my sister, Sarah. Remember, you're my sister. Whatever he says to do, and we'll all make it out safely.
Now the Pharaoh wants to marry me. Things are all mixed up, and you tell me even your God is angry.
He'll hear you.
I don't care if they do. I'm your wife, Abram, not your sister.
You are my sister.
What?
Half-sister, anyway.
My lady.
You startled me.
Madam, the Pharaoh would like to have a word with you.
Here we go.
And your husband.
Uh-oh. Well, after you, brother dear.
Is that the reason, Lord? Lord.
Here you go, Rock. Sorry to have to disturb you, no. I'm sure you are perfectly happy where you were. But I have this father, see, and he has this thing about bothering nice rocks like yourself.
And all right, Isaac. Enough.
Can I eat my lunch now?
It's there, isn't it?
What's going on, Dad? I don't understand.
Neither do I. Neither did your mother.
God told you to what?
He told me to sacrifice the boy.
You're crazy.
Sarah.
You're crazy. I won't let you do it.
Sarah, be quiet.
I'm not going to let you murder my son.
God has commanded me.
God? What God? What God would give a son and then take him away again? What God do you worship? Moloch, the child eater?
Sarah, I will not hear that name in my tent.
Then what?
The Lord has commanded me to return my Isaac to him. I will obey.
Abraham. Listen to reason. God gave us this child. He gave him to us, old as we are. Why, Abraham? Why?
I don't know. Sarah, can't you see I don't know? I was walking through the herd, inspecting the growth of the flock, when the voice came to me. I can't give any reason to it. I just don't know.
Well, are you sure it wasn't your imagination? Are you sure?
Yes! Yes, I'm sure!
Dad, sit down right here. What happened, Dad?
What do you mean? What happened?
I heard you yelling, I'm sure. Don't you think we ought to forget all this and get on home? I'm worried about you.
You're worried about me?
Of course I am, Father. You're my dad. I love you. Dad?
There's enough of this.
But if you're sick.
I'm not sick. We have an altar to build. You've done this before. Start looking around. Do I have to tell you everything, do I?
Yes, Father.
Is it because I argued with you about Lot that time, Lord? Is that why you're punishing me in this way?
It is not to punish you that I require Isaac of you, Abraham, nor do I hold against you the foolishness of Lot. Those who sin against me, I will punish. Those who disobey me, I will kill.
Yes, punish those who sin. Kill those who disobey. But Lord, Isaac has not disobeyed you. Why kill him?
Must you know the mind of God in order to place your faith in me? Must I prove myself to you after these many years of blessing you?
Please, Lord, I don't question your love or your power. I only question why.
Why the world, Abraham, my son? Why these vaulted, star-flung heavens? Why is man, Abraham? And why the love of God? You say you trust me?
Yes, I trust him.
Depend upon me. Place this weight upon my shoulders. Let me bear it for you.
But he's my only son.
And I gave him to you. Can't I give him to you once again? You search your mind for understanding. You break your heart upon your human limitations. But I am God and not man. I will keep my promise, Abraham. As many as the stars of the heavens, as many as the sands of the seas, I will make your children. And in your seed, every nation of the world will be blessed.
In my seed.
I've gathered all the rocks I can find. Do you want to start building the altar now?
Yes. I guess we better get started.
I thought you were in a hurry.
Right. Let's do it.
What do you think?
Joe, we're not here to think, only to tell the story.
Yes, but what do you think? Why would God do this to a man, any man? Why all this pain and bloodshed? Why all this death?
I don't know.
I thought God loved Abraham. This sounds like hatred to me. No. It doesn't seem fair.
I know, but how can we know God's mind? Perhaps God is doing something we can't see just yet. Perhaps he'll reveal it in time. But look at Abraham. Of course he has questions, but he continues.
I don't see how he does it.
Well, Abraham believes God. He trusts him.
But how can he?
Well, that's done.
Couldn't have done better myself.
I noticed who did most of the heavy lifting.
I carried most of those rocks up here myself. Besides, gotta rest my young tender bones some. You wouldn't want to stunt my growth, would you? I don't understand. You just haven't been yourself.
Am I myself? Sometimes I wonder.
What are you saying?
Am I Abraham? Are you Isaac? Is God?
Are you sure you're really in the mood for worship? I mean, if you're wondering. Well, the knife's ready. See? I sharpened it myself. Now if we only had the sacrifice.
We do, Isaac.
We do? Where? What, Dad? You don't mean me, do you? Are you going to sacrifice me?
My son.
Why, Dad? Tell me why. Dad, I need you to talk to me.
Isaac. Oh, Isaac.
Why? Tell me why.
God has commanded me.
God?
He's commanded me to...
You told me he loves me. You told me God gave me to you.
He did, Isaac.
Then why does he want to kill me?
He doesn't, son.
Why does he want to kill me,
he
Dad?
He wants me to. Isaac, there is a difference. There is a difference. I don't know what it means yet. God, I wish I did. But it must be done. He told.
But what about me?
I think we have to trust him to take care of us. Somehow.
But...
Isaac, you don't have to do this.
I don't.
You could run off down the mountain. Take off. An old man? I could never catch you.
I couldn't.
Isaac... This is a knife. It will kill you. You know this.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. First you tell me you've got to kill me. Then you tell me I could run. Dad, help me.
Run! Run off down the... No. I can't tell you that. I'm not looking at you now, son. Do what you need to do. Do it quickly.
You want to tie me?
How can he do it? How can he stand there and let his father tie him up?
And how can the father tie him?
It's the boy I'm thinking of. Look at him. So passive, so trusting, so willing even to die if his father says he must.
Oh, but look at the father. He's so full of love, so hurt by it all. yet willing even to sacrifice him to God if God says he must.
Why? Why is God doing this?
Well,
will you tell Mother I ran away or something? Tell her that I love her. Take care of my goats for me, especially the one with the speckled belly. You know the one. The one who's always getting into things. Take care of her for me.
Wilson. Isaac. Oh, Father.
He's going to do it.
I lay before you this. My only son, Isaac.
He's willing to do it.
Lord, I don't understand.
He's raising the knife.
I don't know why.
He's going to sacrifice.
But if I must...
Dad, are you awake? I had this dream, Dad. I was lying on a pile of wood. It was like an altar, you know? And I was about to be, well, sacrificed. I don't know why, but this man came to me. He stood beside the altar. He told me to be at peace. He put out his hand. It was scarred, Dad, like someone had driven a spike or a spear point through his wrist, and it hadn't healed properly. But he had the most beautiful eyes. He said, "Get up, Isaac." I said, "Who are you?" But he just smiled. "I'm someone who's come to take your place. Get up. It's me who's to be sacrificed." I got up. My bonds were gone. I was free. And then he laid down on the altar in my place. I'll never forget, though. He raised up on an elbow and said, "You see, you and your dad were the dress rehearsal. My father and I, we have to go through with it."
Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
As a sheep led to the slaughter, so he opened not his mouth.
Between the throne and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it was slain.
I saw a lamb standing as though it was slain.
I saw a lamb standing as though it was slain.
Then I looked, and around the throne were the elders and the living creatures. And I heard the voice of many angels. They were praising God and saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy is the Lamb."
And I heard every creature in heaven and earth and all they that dwell therein lifting up their voices and saying,
"To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing
and honor
and glory
and might
forever
and ever
and ever."
I must obey.
Stop.
Stop. Stop, Lord.
Abraham, my servant.
Here I am, Lord.
Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know now that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.
Lord, do you mean it?
I will make of you a mighty nation, and in your seed all the nations of the world shall be blessed.
Then Isaac is still mine.
Your son God restores to you, Abraham.
Look in the thicket, a ram for the sacrifice.
Then why? What was all this about? I don't understand.
Look, Abraham. Across the valley, that hill, do you see it?
The one that looks like a skull.
Yes.
The name of that hill shall be Golgotha.
Golgotha, or Calvary.
Calvary.
Look closely, Abraham. God is opening your eyes into the future. Look deeply and see. For three crosses shall top that ugly little hill, and on one shall hang the Savior.
Three crosses.
There, Abraham, there on that hill, the only Son of God will die for you.
For Isaac.
For the whole world.
I see. I see. There. Do you see it? His wrists. Oh, he's covered in blood. His head. Oh, he has thorns buried in his head. It hurts to watch. They're thrusting a spear into his side. How could you turn your back on him? How could you kill him? How could you kill your own son? Isaac.
Aren't you going to do it, Dad?
No, son. No. God is sending his own son to take your place.
You mean I'm free?
We're both free, Isaac. We're both free. How do you feel?
I'm a little bit hungry.
Going home, son. Going home.
The story doesn't end here. There is much that must go untold. The man that was crucified on that distant hill still comes to each of us as we lay on the altar of our own sin, offering to take our place.
For the wages of sin is death. Oh, but the free gift of God. It is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Life is a free gift. But we must accept Christ's offer to die in our place in order to have it.
And tell me, if Abraham felt this way about sacrificing his earthly son Isaac, do you really think God will take it lightly if you reject his only son's death in your place?
You'll turn to Genesis 22 just quickly. You probably noticed as we were reading this morning that the Lord has given us so many wonderful pictures, so much foreshadowing in the story in Genesis 22, as we've just heard, of his coming provision. And it seemed like at the moment when God went a little too far, doesn't it seem like when he asked Abraham to do that, he was just kind of crossing the line, going a little bit too far, asking a little bit too much of Abraham? Yet, at that very moment, he was typifying what he would do with his son. Alexander McLaren says, this is the deepest meaning of all the sacrificial worship. God himself will provide a lamb. The world had built altars, and Israel, by divine appointment, had its altar too. All these express the want which none of them can satisfy. They show that man needed a sacrifice, and that sacrifice God has provided. You see it even in the text in Genesis 22. There's so many parallels. I just want to mention a few. In verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. Isaac bore his own wood, just as Jesus would one day bear his own cross. Second half of verse 6, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. You don't get a picture of Isaac fighting off Abraham and the two of them wrestling in the dirt until Abraham can get him strapped and tied and on the altar. You get this picture of father and son going together to the place of sacrifice. And as you read through the Old Testament, places like Isaiah 53 and obviously in the New Testament, you don't get a picture, although it was incredibly difficult, but you don't get a picture of Jesus wanting one thing and the Father wanting another. Even in Isaiah 53, let me give you a couple examples. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. That was Jesus going willingly to the offering. Yet in verse 10, it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. So you have Father and Son both going together to the place of sacrifice. Verse 9, Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. You have Abraham sacrificially and obediently laying Isaac on the altar, and Jesus, as Romans 8, Philippians 2, 6, and other passages describe, willingly going to this place of sacrifice. Verse 8, God will provide the lamb. Typifies John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We could go on and on. Even verse 13, we were talking in shepherding group leader meeting this morning, how the ram was caught in the thicket by its horns, so it remained unblemished, just as Jesus would be a sacrifice without any spot or blemish. Abraham viewed Isaac, as Hebrews 11 describes, as returning from the dead, as being resurrected from the dead, typifying Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. And ultimately a passage, let's read those final verses in verses 15 through 19. God blesses Abraham's offspring, just like God blesses Jesus' offspring. Verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Verse 18 says, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. What a picture of what would happen through Isaac, ultimately culminated in Jesus Christ, and then spreading out to all the nations of the earth. Well, there's so much more here. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we bearing our sin, or has Jesus? Because it makes it very clear in verse 13 that Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Instead of his son. God had another plan. And as we saw this morning, that was the culmination of his promise to Abraham. Abraham clung to the provision of God. And we do too. That's what grace is. We are clinging to God's provision. Are you doing that today, tonight? Is that where your eyes are fixed on the Lamb who was sacrificed for you? Let's pray. Lord, our hearts as dads, as moms, as sons or daughters, our hearts cannot imagine the struggle that Abraham went through. We can try to portray it, we can try to picture it, but we cannot imagine the anguish of willingly taking the life of a child. But Lord, we know that the only way Abraham could do that was he was completely confident that you had something good in store for him and for Isaac. And Lord, I know there's no way Abraham could have imagined what you would ultimately do. But we today gather thousands of years later and look back on that Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his son as a small picture of what you would ultimately do. And Lord, we say thank you. Thank you that even though you stopped Abraham, you did not stop. Even though you didn't let Abraham go all the way, you went all the way. You did not stop. Your son took our sin upon himself and took our punishment and our pain. And Lord, we want to praise you tonight. And Lord, my heart aches for some in here who are carrying their own sin, and yet you've paid for it. And they go on day after day after day, hoping somehow they can resolve this. Somehow they can get away. Somehow they can resolve this tension in their hearts. Lord, please, please demonstrate to them that you have provided the Lamb, that your promise is greater than anything we could provide. And I pray that tonight, someone right now would call out to you and believe in your provision and would know, Lord, that you have laid down on that altar and taken the knife for them. And they need to stop running and working and laboring and trying to convince you to accept them and embrace the promise. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder, is there someone here tonight who you say, God has gripped me with that, and I don't know if I've responded to that provision. But you say, please pray for me. Would you just hold your hand up? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If there's anybody here who says that I need to do that, I need to respond to that incredible provision. Just put your hand up and then put it back down and say, Lord, I'm listening as your Spirit speaks. Yes. Anybody else? Lord, you have done the unthinkable. And Lord, some of us have heard this story too many times and we've lost the awareness of what you really did. So I pray, God, that you would stir our hearts anew and that you would fire us with the passion to proclaim this good news to everyone we know. I pray for some in here right now who have raised their hands or haven't raised their hands and yet are in turmoil or just want to say thank you, God. Please, Lord, help them to cry out to you even right now. We embrace your promise. We thank you, Lord, that you replaced us. We pray that you would show us, you would open the eyes of our hearts to see that we deserve the knife. We deserve the cross. But you have paid for our penalty. And the only response that is legitimate, as we sung about this morning, is just to give our life back to you, Lord, to trust your provision. And I pray that not one would leave here tonight without doing that. And so, Lord, we thank you for this little glimpse we've had tonight of your goodness. Lord, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.